Let's just take a few minutes to look at John chapter 4, the end of that chapter. There's some little thought there. Thank you for being obedient to the Lord, all of you that testified, because your testimonies were more of a blessing than you realize. Praise God. And God doesn't only want to use the preacher, but he wants to use other members of the body to minister to one another. Praise God. And it's true. You don't realize who God may be speaking to and who needs to hear what the Lord has to say through you. Praise God. Hallelujah. John chapter 4. Not too long ago in our church in Canarsie, Brooklyn, we went through the Gospel of John and we were looking at the different miracles of Jesus in that wonderful book of John. The Gospel of John is a wonderful gospel, isn't it? All the Word of God is precious to us, and the Gospels are very wonderful, these stories of Jesus, but the Gospel of John is different than the other three, and comes from a different perspective, and it gives us stories that we don't read of in the other Gospels, and they're all very precious to us. Here we read that Jesus returned to Cana in Galilee. What happened in Cana the first time we read of Jesus being there? Do you remember? He changed the water into wine, right? And many believe that that was the first miracle that Jesus performed. He was 30 years old, and there he was at that wedding feast, and he had some disciples with him. People had begun to take an interest in him and recognize that he had something to offer them. But they had no idea, really, who he was just yet. That would take some time, and that would take some revelation of the Holy Spirit. And there at that wedding, they ran out of wine. We know the story there. And it's interesting that Jesus' mother told him, "They ran out of wine, Jesus." And Jesus said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Now, why did Mary tell Jesus that they ran out of wine? What did she expect him to do about it? Go out and buy some? I think that Mary, she was waiting a long time to see the Word of God fulfilled to her. She knew where Jesus had come from. She knew that he was born of the Spirit, conceived of the Holy Ghost in her womb. And Mary was such that God could entrust her with the care of his son. And one thing that was very important is that Mary kept things to herself. Because God had a time. We've heard tonight that God has a time. And we can interfere with that if we're not careful. We can push ahead, try to get things done, when it's really not time for God to get things done. And we can hold back too long too. When God wants to accomplish something through our life, we can hold back. And so we want God's perfect will to be done in our life, in his time and in his way. And we need to believe God for that. I know that God has put things in my heart that I just hold before him. I say, "Lord, it doesn't seem to be the time yet, but this thing is still in my heart, and I'm believing that in your time and in your way, you're going to work it out." Praise God. And maybe you're like that too. And it would have been a tragic thing if Mary went around telling everybody everything she knew about Jesus. Imagine what a reaction she would have gotten when she began to tell people that her child was conceived of the Holy Ghost and so on. And if she told about how the wise men came from far and the star guided them right to her house and there they presented their gifts to Jesus. She really would have made a mess of things. And so the Bible says rather than broadcast these things to others, she conjured them and kept them in her heart. And I'm sure she was just meditating on these things and holding them before the Lord and saying, "Lord, what do you mean by this? Why did you allow this to happen? What kind of child is this that you've given me? And how am I to, raise him? How do you raise the Son of God?" If you can put it that way. But God was going to work everything out. And he just wanted Mary to just commit everything to him. And so here we are now. Jesus is 30 years old. He has never performed a miracle. He hasn't preached a sermon as far as we know. But he's a young man now. And it may be that Mary feels it's time that he begin to launch out in his ministry. I don't know if God put that on her heart or what, but she made that suggestion to Jesus. Jesus, we got a problem here. Let's see what you can do about it. And he said, Mother, my time has not yet come. Don't try to push me. But it's interesting to me that Jesus considered what Mary said and he did something about it. Would have made sense to me if after Jesus said, Woman, my time has not yet come, that he just continued to sit there with the people at the wedding and didn't do anything until God's time. Well, evidently it was God's time. And so I'm sure Jesus considered what Mary said, and he looked to his father, and his father showed him exactly what to do. And so he told the servants to fill those pots up with water and fill them to the top. And then he said, now go and give some to the one in charge of the wedding. And when they brought the water that was changed into wine to the governor of the feast, he was shocked when he took a sip of that. And he said, usually we use the best wine first, and then after people have drunken the best wine, then we give them the cheaper stuff. But you've saved the best wine until now. And then it says, in this way Jesus manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. They knew where the wine had come from. Most of the people at the wedding didn't know. They thought that it was just naturally provided by the bride and the groom. But the disciples and the servants that were around Jesus, they overheard what was going on and they saw what took place. They saw that those things were filled with water and that wine was drawn from them. And they recognized that this was a miracle that Jesus himself performed. And now they got a glimpse of his glory, of what he really was, who he really was, and they believed in him. Now, of course, there were many revelations that were yet to come, but that was the beginning. And I always like, when I think of that story, I like to think about Mary, and I like to think about how Jesus took her suggestion. You know, once a mother, always a mother. You know, I'm 55 years old, and my mother still makes a lot of suggestions to me, and it's always good to take them, to think about it. Say, Lord, is there something to this? You know, the people that love us the most are often the ones that God uses to give us the greatest help. And I know my mom loves me, and I know that she prays for me. And I know that she wants God's best in my life. And so sometimes she'll make a suggestion. And I usually don't just dismiss it. But I pray about it. I say, Lord, are you saying something to me through Mom? And sometimes he indicates yes, and other times it's not the case. And maybe that's good for young people too. You know, God will use your parents to help guide you in life. And even unsaved parents God will use because of their natural love for you and because they've been involved in your upbringing and so on. And we shouldn't dismiss lightly the suggestions that our parents make to us. But we ought to acknowledge their authority in our life, and we ought to bring that to the Lord and pray about it. The Lord used my dad to help guide me into the ministry. Now, I didn't go into the ministry because my dad wanted me to. I went into the ministry because the Lord called me. But the Lord used my dad. I remember I was graduating high school and I was thinking of going to some college where I could study music. I like music. And so I registered at the community college, first of all, Suffolk Community College. And just around that time, my dad said, you know, Ken, they're starting a program up at Pilgrim Camp. I understand Carl Saylor, the caretaker, is retiring. And Brother Gardner's going to move up there with his wife and a small staff. And they said that maybe there'd be some young men that would like to come up there and wait on the Lord and seek his will for their life. And, you know, maybe you'd be interested in something like that. And I had registered for college already, but while I was up at camp, the Lord came to me in such a wonderful way, and I thought, you know, college can wait a year. It'd be great to come up to camp and just seek the Lord for a year. And so I got up enough courage to ask Brother Gardner if he would consider having me live at camp. And he said, well, we'll pray about it. You pray about it. I'll call you in a week or two and tell me what the Lord showed you. Well, I had no idea how to talk, you know, hear from God, so I didn't know what the Lord was going to show me. And so he called me up and said, well, did the Lord tell you anything? And I said, well, not really, you know, but I'd still like to come. I still have a desire to come, if that means anything. He said, well, okay, we'll keep praying, and you keep praying. And then he called me another week later, and same question, I guess. And finally he settled for, well, as long as you have a desire to come, it might be the Lord has really put it in your heart. And so he let me come up here to live, and I came up here with Mike Corrigan, and we lived here for a year. And then it turned out that 1 year turned into 2 years. That's when I met Brother Tom and Bowie Curry, and then 2 years turned into 2.5, and then I went down to Fredericksburg, Virginia. But that was interesting to me that my dad directed me. 2 years before that, when I graduated high school, he told me about a Bible college in Oyster Bay, Long Island, and said, you know, let's go see it. Maybe you'd be interested in, you know, attending some classes there. And so, you know, it was there that I first went to Bible school for 2 years, and then from there I went to Pilgrim Camp for 2 years, or 2.5 years. And it was in that way that God got me into the ministry here in the fellowship. But he used my father and my mother in both of those situations to just present something to me. They didn't put any pressure on me, but I'm sure they were praying. I'm sure they saw that maybe God had his hand on my life and was moving me in this direction. And so they just present the things to me, and as I consider them before the Lord, I have to look back and say, God used my parents to help guide me in the right direction. And he'll do that for you too. And so prayerfully consider the things that are given to you of those that love you, and don't be surprised if the Lord has something to say to you through them. But that's not my talk tonight. My talk's going to have to be a little shorter now. You know, when I was in Germany, I had an interpreter, and that was good. I wish I had an interpreter here, because after, you know, I'd say something in English, and she'd say something in German. You know, Sister Gudrun, she was here just last week. She was my interpreter. She speaks very good English, better than I do. And so I would speak in English, and then she would say in German, and after a while, we got into quite a rhythm. You know, hallelujah, you know, and she's got the hand motions going and stuff. It was great. But it was what I liked most about it was that I had someone to blame for preaching too long. I said, you made my sermons twice as long. If you weren't here, I would have been done half the time. And I have no one to blame tonight, so I'm going to have to get this over with quick. Praise God. But here at the end of the fourth chapter of John, in the beginning of the fourth chapter, we read of Jesus' story, that story of Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well. And you know, it's hard to even mention these things without talking about them because they're so wonderful. But at the end of the chapter, Jesus is back in Cana of Galilee. And that's in the 45th verse. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things which he did at Jerusalem. Okay, verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. A certain royal official, it says in the NIV. And his son was sick in the city of Capernaum. That wasn't too far away from Cana. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. You know, as a father, you read these stories and you try to live them. You put your son maybe into that story And I say, well, how would I feel if Kenny was that sick? And I knew that Jesus was in Cana. Oh, what would I do? I would get there as quick as I could. And you can picture that father. Here's hope. His son is at the point of death. There's nothing they can do for him. He doesn't have much time left. And now he hears that Jesus is not too far away. And so he no doubt jumps on his horse and he rushes to Cana to look for Jesus. And when he finds him, he says, Lord, he says, come. Let's see where that is. He sought him. And he said, and he sought him and said that he would heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus said something that surprises us. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. That was a strange response from Jesus. Didn't seem very compassionate. Except ye see signs and wonders. You know, everywhere Jesus went, people were just looking for signs and wonders. Just looking for him to perform miracles and satisfy their curiosity. And they weren't really interested in him himself, but they were interested in what he could do for them. And Jesus suspected that this man came with that same motive. Or maybe he was just trying to make a point. You know, I'm not here just to jump through your hoops. I want you to recognize who I am, not just what I can do. Well, anyway, the father said, sir, come down, or else my son will die. Lord, please, I'm not just here looking for signs. I'm not here to get some thrill by seeing you perform some miracle. We have a real need here, Jesus. If you don't come, my son's going to die. You know, we find ourselves in situations like that where we say, Lord, the doctors, they don't give us any hope at all. Lord, naturally speaking, if you don't intervene, this is the end. And it's not always in issues of health, but there are other situations in our lives where we have no other solution except that Christ step in and undertake. And this man was desperate. He had no other place to turn but to Christ. And he said, Jesus, come back with me, please. Come, lay your hand on my son. And I know that he'll live if you come. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Your son lives. Wow. Now he was really backed into a corner, wasn't he? He really wanted Jesus, I'm sure, to come back with him. And he knew that if Jesus was with him and he got him to the house, Jesus would walk into that home and lay his hand on that boy and pray and God would raise him up. But now Jesus says, I'm not going back with you. Just take me at my word. Go back home, your son will live. Well, if he insisted, Jesus, come with me, he would have insulted the Lord. Lord, your word is not enough. I need you. Come on. Please, just get on the back of my horse. We'll be there in no time. But he couldn't do that. He didn't want to offend the Lord in any way. The Lord just said, go. I say your son's going to live. And so, receive that word. And so he had to receive the word. It says that he did that. He received the word of God into his heart. He believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And the Bible seems to indicate, I was reading about this not too long ago, and this thought was presented, that Capernaum was not so far away, and it gives the impression that on his way home, he took his time. On his way there, he rushed. And he had to get there as soon as possible. But when Jesus said, your son liveth, he didn't have to run back home. He believed the word that Jesus said. And so he began to just rest. And on his way home, he was met by some of his servants. And they came with the good news that it's just as Jesus said, your son is alive. And he asked him, he said, what time did he start to get better? And they told him that it was, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And the father knew that it was the same moment, the same hour, in which Jesus said unto him, your son liveth. And he himself believed, and his whole house. Praise God. This is the second miracle that Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. You know, we find in the Gospel of John that Jesus was looking for people that would take him at his word. That they were not looking for signs and wonders, but that they recognized that Jesus was as good as his word. That if he said something, that you could put your full confidence in that. It spoke to his character. It spoke to his person. When you accept the word of someone, that means that you feel they're trustworthy. You feel that they can back up that word. And when Jesus said, go, your son lives, by him accepting that word, he was saying, Jesus, I believe what you say. You say my son lives, so he will. And I believe that it's by your word that he has been healed. And then, of course, when he went back home and saw the evidence and saw the fulfillment of that word, now he believed with all his heart and with all his house. He believed in Christ, in the person of Christ, and he accepted him. As he was able and understood into his life. You know, God's looking for people that will take him at his word. Praise God. Sometimes we, even as Christians, we want to see signs and we want to see wonders. And we want God to always prove himself to us. Lord, if you're there, do this. And if you're here, do that. But God's looking for people that will just believe him for who he is and say, Lord, you're so precious, you're so wonderful, and Lord, I love you, and I want you in my life, and I take your word into my heart, Lord. Doesn't matter what things look like. Jesus, if you said it, that's enough, because you are absolutely dependable. And wherever Jesus went, he came upon people that were always clamoring for miracles and so on. And after one miracle was performed, that wasn't enough. They needed another one and another one. And Jesus wasn't interested in entertaining those people. He was looking for people that had awakened to the wonder of himself and were going to believe him. Believe in him, and not just in what he could do for them. And God's still looking for people like that. He's looking for people that will just believe him. Believe in Jesus. Lord, open my eyes to make me to see who you are. And oh God, if I really see who you are, and I really get a sight of how glorious you are, then your word will become more precious to me. And I'll be able to put my full confidence in your word. And I'll be able to rest on what you said. And so you can imagine this man, when he first came to Jesus, he was full of anxiety and he was full of fears for his son and worried about what was going to happen. But when Jesus spoke that word to him, all of that left him. When he laid hold of the word of God, then he came into real rest. And then he could just get back home without any mad hurry. And he found it just as he said. And it was there, the very moment Jesus spoke those words, the healing took place. And that, of course, testified to the fact that it was Jesus himself that performed the healing. It wasn't Jesus was just making some prediction, he's going to get better. But the fact that it happened the very moment Jesus spoke indicated that it was Christ himself who had done the work. Praise God. And We need to just take him at his word. Some of you said you opened the Bible, and you took a word from the Lord, and you took it into your heart. And you found that as you believed his word, Jesus came to you. And Jesus made the difference. And God wants us to know him that way and to trust him that way. And we can give ourselves to God like that tonight and say, Lord, help me to just take you at your word, Lord. When things look just the opposite of what you say, Lord, help me to find rest in your promises. And help me to glorify you, Lord. You are glorified when I just believe you. And I don't have to have signs and wonders. You're looking for people that know you like that and trust you like that. And help me to be among them, Lord. Because that's where you reveal yourself. He reveals himself to us through his word. And so we need to take it into our lives and let it reveal Jesus to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you'll take these things that I'm trying to convey, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to every heart here tonight. Oh, Jesus. Lord, we want to awaken somehow to the wonder of who you are. Jesus, we don't want to get taken up with just what you can do for us. We don't want to live that life of give me, and do for me. Lord, that's not the Christian life that you called us to. But you called us to fellowship with Christ. You called us to know him in his beauty and in his glory. You called us to receive his word into our lives like a living seed and allow God to, through it, produce in us the thing that glorifies him. And Lord, I pray that you'll put that faith into our hearts, that confidence, and enable us, Lord, to believe you for who you are, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Some of us will go home and we'll find situations that we're going to face, and we're going to need a word from God to help us to get through. And maybe it's all you can hang on to is what God says to you. Well, hold on to that word and give God time to show what he can do as we rejoice in him and rest in his promise. Praise God. Let's sing Wonderful Words of Life. Sing them over again to me, Wonderful Words of Life, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, we commit ourselves to you for this evening. We pray that the things that we've heard today and the way in which you have come to us will accomplish all that you have intended. And we pray, Lord, that as we rest tonight, we pray that the Holy Spirit will keep on working. Pray that you'll cause your glory to settle over this camp tonight. Cover us with your precious blood. And, oh Jesus, we pray that you'll make yourself known to us. Through your word, Lord, we pray that you will reveal to us your glory and help us to honor you by believing what you say, no matter what things look like, no matter how long it takes, Lord. We pray that you'll bring us into that rest of faith because you have spoken it and you do all things well. Amen. God bless you all.